This is Auntie B's News with your business report for the week of December 8th. Talks are underway this week in Washington, D.C. to wrap up negotiations for a proposed Central American Free Trade Agreement, or CAFTA. From December 8th to 16th, trade representatives from the U.S., Costa Rica, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua will meet at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C. for their final round of talks. The deal could take effect as soon as next March, but with just days left to finalize an agreement, negotiators still have a number of controversial issues to resolve. CAFTA is expected to be modeled on the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, extending the liberal trade and investment relationship that the U.S. shares with Mexico and Canada. Mexico has already negotiated free trade deals with each of the proposed CAFTA members. Canada has completed a deal with Costa Rica and is in negotiations with Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua for a separate agreement. What distinguishes these pacts from CAFTA is the huge divide between Central American and U.S. economic power. While Canada and Mexico each have a GDP roughly six times greater than the combined GDP of the Central American states negotiating for CAFTA, the U.S. has a GDP of almost 75 times the cumulative GDP of its proposed CAFTA partners. To help offset this imbalance, Costa Rica, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua have chosen to negotiate for CAFTA as a trading bloc. The Bush administration says it is pursuing CAFTA as a stepping stone toward the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a hemispheric free trade zone that would include every country in North and South America except Cuba. While CAFTA may be a prelude to the FTAA, it also marks a step away from pursuit of an all-encompassing hemispheric trade and investment pact. The Bush administration launched CAFTA in January 2002, after it had become apparent that a comprehensive FTAA agreement might not be completed by the proposed 2005 deadline. While talks for the FTAA stalled in Miami earlier this month, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick pulled aside proposed CAFTA members to plan for this week's meeting and to push for CAFTA to be completed on schedule. Compared to the FTAA, talks for CAFTA have proceeded briskly. The first round of negotiations was held just 11 months ago, and the final round should be completed next week. If CAFTA does not spur on plans for the FTAA, it will certainly accelerate Plan Puebla Panama. Plan Puebla Panama, the brainchild of Mexican President Vicente Fox, was launched soon after his election in July 2000. This 10- to 25-year, $20 billion development scheme would use taxpayer funds from impoverished Central American governments to pay for massive infrastructure developments, facilitating cross-border trade and foreign investment. With the construction of two transnational highways, numerous ports, airports, bridges, and a chain of 25 hydroelectric dams, Plan Puebla Panama would transform Central America into an industrial and commercial conduit, channeling cheaply produced textiles, electricity, and fruit to the rich countries of the North, while funneling investment capital, subsidized U.S. grain, and Hollywood entertainment to the poor nations of the South. As industrial development ravages the Central American countryside, biodiversity would be preserved in state-run conservation areas created through the forced relocation of small farmers and indigenous communities. These conservation areas could then be opened to biotech research by seed, chemical, and pharmaceutical companies from North America and Europe. New maquiladoras, or textile factories, would absorb some of the rural labor displaced by highways, dams, power stations, and conservation areas cleared of human inhabitants. Other displaced workers would be forced further north to work as underpaid migrant laborers on North American farms or to venture into the netherworld of non-status employment in American factories, hotels, and restaurants. The Inter-American Development Bank, or IDB, a sort of subsidiary of the International Monetary Fund, is the main financial backer for Plan Puebla Panama. The IDB would fund Plan Puebla Panama's projects by granting loans to participating states. These loans would then have to be repaid by the region's impoverished governments. Plan Puebla Panama would affect 64 million farmers and working people in southern Mexico, Belize, Panama, and in the five nations negotiating with the U.S. for CAFTA. The plan threatens to displace hundreds of indigenous and peasant communities, to destroy delicate rainforest and wetland ecosystems, and to saddle Central American governments with foreign debt. For these reasons, the plan has drawn fire from environmentalists, labor leaders, and human rights advocates throughout the region. Civil society groups have cried out against the devastating impact it could have on the environment, indigenous communities, and local economies. By late 2002, the Mexican government realized that opposition to Plan Puebla Panama had grown enormously. The Fox government had to backpedal on the plan, purging almost all references to it in official discourse. Nonetheless, the projects initiated under Plan Puebla Panama have continued full steam ahead. CAFTA would work hand-in-hand with the projects of Plan Puebla Panama by providing investment and taxation incentives for U.S. companies attracted to the region's rapid industrialization. Since President Bush announced his intention to launch CAFTA negotiations in January 2002, little information about the proposed agreement has been released. Press releases have been issued outlining U.S. objectives, but official negotiating positions have not been revealed. Input and participation from civil society in the U.S. and in the five participating Central American states has been virtually non-existent. The nine rounds of CAFTA negotiations held this year have all been behind closed doors. So we can only assume that, like NAFTA and the U.S.-Chile Free Trade Pact signed earlier this year, CAFTA would include provisions allowing corporations to sue governments when their laws hinder potential profits, provisions that erode environmental regulations as barriers to trade, provisions that open up public sector services and utilities to multinational private interests, and clauses that support subsidized agribusiness at the expense of small farmers and move manufacturing operations to wherever labor is cheapest and least regulated. While specific details of the proposed agreement have not been released, we do know that the Bush administration has rejected demands to exclude countries whose laws do not support or enforce basic labor and environmental protections. Instead, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick has stated that Washington will only support measures to levy nominal fines against countries who fail to enforce their own labor and environmental laws, whatever those laws might be, and whether or not they meet standards set by the UN or other international organizations. Largely because of these weak enforcement provisions, U.S.-based activists have sworn to defeat CAFTA, and they're represented by a number of Democrats and Republicans in Congress. Many observers believe that the Bush administration will face an uphill battle trying to get the deal passed before next year's presidential elections. The Bush administration may try to make CAFTA more attractive to American lawmakers by packaging the deal alongside a free trade agreement with the Dominican Republic, a deal with strong support among some Democrats. Fast-track approval in the U.S. means that Congress would have to approve or reject such a package wholesale. Nonetheless, Democrats in Congress seem likely to oppose any trade deals pushed by the Republican administration in an election year, while a number of Republicans from states with significant textile industries are also opposing CAFTA. Their positions will be strengthened by a recent report detailing labor abuses in El Salvador, one of the U.S.'s proposed CAFTA partners. On the eve of this week's critical round of trade talks between the U.S. and its five Central American partners, New York-based Human Rights Watch issued a report suggesting that workers' rights in El Salvador are systematically abused by businesses and the government there. The 110-page report concludes that labor rights enforcement provisions for CAFTA must be strengthened if they are to offer any credible support for workers' rights in member countries. The report uses case studies from El Salvador's private and public sectors in both the manufacturing and service industries to demonstrate a consistent pattern of abuse by employers, including the delayed payment of salaries, a failure to pay overtime, denial of mandatory bonuses and vacation payments, and even the pocketing of workers' Social Security contributions, leaving employees unable to receive free health care. According to the report, the most pervasive abuse is the denial of workers' rights to organize unions. Employers routinely fire union members and leaders, suspend union activists, discriminate against union members in hiring and promotion, and pressure workers to renounce their membership in unions. In this hostile climate, only about 5% of workers in the country have organized successfully. For a workforce of more than 2.5 million people, the Salvadoran government employs only 37 labor inspectors. These few staff often fail to follow proper procedure. Procedural delays and obstacles frustrate employees' efforts to take abusive employers to court, while the law fails to provide whistleblower protection for workers who testify against their employers. Even if a court passes judgment against a business, there's no guarantee that the judgment will be enforced. For example, under Salvadoran law, cases cannot move forward if defendants cannot be found to be served their papers. In a number of cases cited by Human Rights Watch, employers simply closed their factories and left the country, leaving unpaid workers with no way to obtain compensation. In several cases observed by Human Rights Watch, these abuses and discriminatory practices were perpetrated by factories under contract to major U.S. clothing retailers such as Walmart, Kmart, and JCPenney. In other cases, the report found abuses in the area of privatized public services, where formerly public sector staff have found themselves employed by private companies hostile to organized labor. U.S. companies currently purchase two-thirds of El Salvador's manufacturing exports. Under CAFTA, incentives for U.S. investment in El Salvador's private and privatizing industries would improve substantially, but conditions for Salvadoran workers would not. While environmental and labor regulations are major areas of concern for CAFTA opponents, agricultural policy marks another contentious issue. CAFTA would remove all tariffs on U.S. agricultural imports in five Central American states, allowing cheaply grown and heavily subsidized U.S. corn and other grains to flood local markets. Small farmers in Central America, already devastated by years of drought, a sharp drop in coffee prices, and imports of U.S. agribusiness products, could face extinction under CAFTA. Like the massive development projects of Plan Puebla Panama, CAFTA's economic plan could force a mass migration of farmers to urban and industrial areas, where they would be forced to take on low-paying jobs in maquiladoras, sweatshops that have provided one of the only sources of income for countless Mexican farm workers forced off of their lands by the dumping of subsidized U.S. corn and beans into that country since the passage of NAFTA. On the other side of the equation, American sugar beet farmers in the Midwest could be devastated by the elimination of tariffs on sugar imports into the U.S. If Central American growers are allowed to export more of their sugar to the north, U.S. sugar prices could fall by half. Last week, sugar industry heavyweights sent a letter to President Bush saying they are deeply concerned about the agreement being pursued by the administration and the disastrous impact it could have on the U.S. sugar industry. Opposition to CAFTA, like opposition to Plan Puebla Panama, has been growing among civil society groups in Central and North America. While some activists oppose any free trade deal and others seek an agreement based on fair trade and human rights, there is common agreement that a Central American free trade deal modeled on NAFTA would threaten unions, farmers, indigenous communities, and ecosystems, accelerating corporate-led globalization while doing little to protect working families. In response, activists have organized a series of actions and protests against this final round of CAFTA negotiations in Washington, D.C. over the next week. These protests will include daily lunch hour pickets outside of the Mayflower Hotel where talks are being held. For more information, visit www.stopcafta.org. That's a wrap for this week's Business Report. Signing off, this is Auntie Bee's Knees, reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.